Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hockey! Yeah!
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Yep, Judd's Hockey Show, the day after what was probably a must-win, despite what you might be told. The Minnesota Wild lays a complete egg, and so it's Judd and AJ here to talk about it. But before we do that, I want to talk about some good news and welcome aboard our new partner at Nicolet Law. That's right. They know when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a stop. There is Russ right there. And things can get complicated during that time. Insurance companies are likely to pressure you. They don't care if you get better. They don't care if your medical bills are piling up. And they don't care that you may not be able to work. But you know what? Nicolet Law does. They have seen every play the insurance companies have. They've got their playbook. They'll drop their gloves to make sure you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolet. Start your path to winning at NicoletLaw.com. That's N-I-C-O-L-E-T Law.com. Or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET, 1-855-N-I-C-O-L-E-T. We appreciate Russell and Nicolet Law coming aboard. And remember, there's only one real Nicolet. And there's only one team that can basically disappoint you by not showing up for a massively important game, and that is the Minnesota Wild. First of all, I want to make clear I'm not upset that they lost, because I keep saying I don't want to see them make the playoffs. They don't belong there. So, Age, I'm not upset about that, but I do want to get into a conversation of what transpired last night, because it wasn't that they lost.
Yeah.
Nashville's a playoff team. I like them. They're big. They're physical. They're a playoff team. They're going to kick some ass. They might lose in the first round, but they're going to kick some ass in doing so. Mm-hmm. But, Age, what I want to talk about is the performance. I mean, even John Hines, who has been Pollyanna John so far, I mean, he's found the positive in just about every bad thing that can happen. And the team's played well for the most part with him as coach. But that was nothing short of disgusting. That was, we can dissect it, but that was a complete no-show in an incredibly important game. And no matter how anyone tried to spin it as you were perhaps watching that game, it was an inexcusable performance and spoke to the character of a team that I really thought had more character than that. That's where I'm starting at.
After you go toe-to-toe, essentially, especially from what I think we were all told and what we all saw against the Carolina Hurricanes, they go toe-to-toe with one of the hottest teams in the NHL since mid-December. You lose. I get it. They're a great team. That's fine. You know, I can live with that. And frankly, like you said, I've been out on this team for a while now, so I'm not necessarily rooting for them to lose, but it's not ruining my night when they do. I expect more of a response the next game, because how long have we been saying, you know, these are very important games. These are, you need these points. And you go back to the last time they played Nashville. You needed these points before the All-Star break. And now you got them on, you got them down in Nashville. You got to get those points back. And it's a 4-point swing. You go up and you get a shot from Connor Dewar, who from what I hear, maybe is on the block, maybe isn't and whatnot. So he's still trying. It seems like that guy, when they go down to Nashville, he kind of has a day. Last time down there, hat trick. Good for him. Less than a minute later, you're down by a goal. Just how are you going to take the game?
8 seconds.
You go down to Nashville. You start the game very solid. I think the first 5 minutes, they looked like they wanted to be there. They looked like they wanted to go out and get 2 points. They get that first goal, and then we're going to kick our feet up here. We're going to just lean back on the bench. We're not going to do anything. We're not even going to put up a fight. We're going to let them regain territory, put two past Gus, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, the game is over. We might as well just go home, boys. What was the Tootsie's or whatever the bar that they went to before the draft last year? Get a table Tootsie's. At Tootsie's, you know? Let's get around. Who cares? We don't need these points. For a team that needs these points, like there's a finite game amount of games left in the season.
22,
and you need as many points from those as you want. From what we've been told, they still believe they can be a playoff team. We're told to believe they should be a playoff team,
right?
But not a must win game, Judd. Not a must win. It doesn't matter that it's a division rival. It doesn't matter that it's a team that's in one of the coveted wild card spots that you're so valiantly trying to chase down. But we can just lie down, and I have to hear honky tonk music for 6 different instances last night. Just a pathetic showing after that first 5 minutes.
Oh, it was god awful. And I mean, as John Hines said, in fact, I think I've got the quote right here. He said, "You could arguably say tonight we got what we deserved." Philip Gustafson said, "We didn't show up." I mean, my God. If you think you're now, if you come out and say, you know what, that's probably it. That's an embarrassment. March 8th, we're going to try and trade guys. You know, Bill Guerin's actually going to go ask guys if they'll waive their no move clauses, mm-hmm. no trade clauses. I'd say, okay, yeah, that's the right move here. But I mean, you know, anyone defending this team, here's my question. Why are you defending them? This showed no character. It showed no heart. I mean, this was straight out of the Parisian suitor playbook, which I thought we were past. And now I'm not so sure. And yes, you know, the Carolina loss was a really good game, and it was a tough loss, and you had some bad bounces, but damn it, that was a playoff-type game. And you don't have, I mean, this isn't even starting to touch on the fact that you don't have enough depth of talent to not give a full effort every single game. And remember, this also goes back to when John Hines said this to the media. Now the Wild was playing well, or I think had won a game at the time, so it didn't resonate like I thought it should have, but he basically said, "I told the players, you got to play hard every night." You're telling this group that? You're telling this group of, you know, beyond the first line and a few defensemen, Brock Faber, for instance, Brodin, you're telling this group of marginal talent that you have to play hard? What are we doing here? Let's talk about goaltending too, all right?
Yes.
Philip Gustafson was awful. Like when he said, he could have just said, instead of "we didn't show up," "I didn't show up." UC Saros was unbelievable. Saros really won that game. Now, I know the score got one-sided, but he was making incredible saves when the Wild easily could have gone back in front 3-2. And meanwhile, Gus, who has these games, last night it seemed like the first goal threw him. He had made some nice saves. He made a save. Kirill Kaprizov had an awful giveaway early in that game in his own zone, right in front of his own goal, mm-hmm. To Philip Forsberg, who's a marvelous player. Forsberg had a great chance, and Gus made a nice save. It appeared once goal one, though, just like Vancouver. Once goal one went in, off to the races with Gus, confidence gone.
Floodgates.
But, I mean, again, so if we're dissecting that game, if we're dissecting this team, the Vancouver game, folks, was a fluke, okay? It's a fluke. They shouldn't have won that game. That game caused more red flags than it did this celebration of, "Oh, look, they came back and scored 10 goals." That was a fluke. But in goal, just starting there, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
And it came out, Marc-Andre Fleury is fine staying here, their manager of the season. I think that's more power to him. You do whatever you want. At this point now, there is no reason in my mind why Philip Gustafson should be in a Wild sweater pass next Friday.
Well, and the problem now is, can you get enough for him to justify trading him? I'd still be looking hard. I'm with you.
That's what breaks my heart, is because he, slow start, and we've seen this now in his time with the Wild, starts slow. you got to let the motor warm up. I get it. Eventually, he plays some really darn good hockey. And then I don't know what happens, but there's either a mental thing or it's a physical thing or a mixture of both or whatever. But he'll have nights and where he does go out and he flat out wins the game for the Wild. Similar to what UC Saros did last night, where he makes every stop. He's acrobatic. He's very sound in net. He's limiting rebound opportunities. But recently, of course, right before we, you know, we would hope that you see his trade value rise and rise and be at the peak. That is the exact opposite. We're seeing these games where he goes out there and it's a deflected shot that, you know, sneaks through and all of a sudden, oh my God, the world's ending. Everything's crumbling around me. I don't know what I'm doing. Did I leave the stove on at home? I'm worried about other things. And we just see one, two, three, four, five. It's incredible how just, I don't want to say mentally fragile, because I don't think that maybe is, I don't know exactly what he's going through, but it seems like there's something there where he just isn't able to rebound and cast that aside where, you know what? It got past me. I'm the next one staying out. It seems the exact opposite. One gets past me. I'm going to let three, four by me the rest of the night.
Right. You're listening to a Score North podcast right now. And if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
So we were talking, what, not even a month ago, first round pick. That's what now, frankly, I think the sky, and that's with a desperate team, is like a second, maybe a conditional that turns into a second. How far do you think this trade value has maybe dropped for a guy like Philip Gustafson if Billy Guerin wants to move him?
It would probably have to be a conditional pick of some sort. It ain't going to be a conditional one. No. But I'll say this, he's playing, to your point, like a guy who knows he's being shopped.
Yeah.
Like he's playing with the distracted trade deadline mindset. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, that Canucks game, we don't, because they came back and won, we didn't harp on that. I tried, we didn't harp on that enough, that performance from Gus. And then last night was just absolutely atrocious. And I know there were some tough goals, but I mean, there were also some goals where he got worked. They got worked. Declan Chisholm has crashed to earth. Now, I still think he should play a lot. I'm afraid they're going to scratch him on Saturday at St. Louis. I'm really afraid of that because John Hines is going to say, I'm going to play a veteran defenseman. Don't do that, John. Scratch Johnny Merrill, get Maris back. Mermis, my concern is they're going to get Mermis back in and scratch Chisholm because he didn't play well. I'm hoping to God that's not the case. But let's move on. So as we pick at people, let's talk about the second line, okay? So the second line, I actually like the center. And Marco Rossi had a lot of chances last night. I think they were a minus two or three. And so the statistics probably don't reflect kindly. Mm-hmm. Marco, I thought, though, you know, it was ridiculous that Goudreau was on the second line on Tuesday. I thought that was rectified on Thursday. But let's talk about the wingers. Matt Zuccarello. Excuse me, I'm so upset.
No, you're
Matt
fine.
Zuccarello no-showed that game. It's almost like he's decided, well, if I'm going to be treated like this, he was awful last night on the power play. I think it was the first or second power play. And by the way, if I'm correct, the Wild's first two power plays, no shots on goal. But there were two plays there. He didn't keep a puck in at the blue line, and then he mishandled a puck that was a cross ice pass, I think, from Kirill. So you talk about a non-factor there. Uh-huh. And then I did a video on this morning, how Marcus Johansson is not being scratched, and we've harped on this, but it's disgusting. Why he's being left on the second line is not explainable. This, to me, is a John Hines problem. John Hines has done a lot that he deserves credit for, the record for the most part. Like, he came in and did a good job. Mm-hmm. But this is a red flag, and this is a coaching red flag. Marcus Johansson is robbing you right now. Like, he literally is backing up a Brinks truck to your team headquarters, and he's walking in with a mask on, and he's robbing you, and you're doing nothing about it. That second line, the wingers last night, useless. And I will say again, Matt Zuccarello, I would, if he didn't have a damn no move clause, how great would it be to send him to a team and let him play on a bottom six role on a really good team? Because he doesn't look to me like he has a whole hell of a lot of interest in playing here if he's not with Kirill Kaprizov. I don't blame him for being pissed off about Tuesday's stunt. The Goudreau thing was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Last night, though, those two wingers on that, on your second line, where you got to get some scoring from, were useless.
And let's talk about that. Yes, that is the second line, but time-wise, that was the fourth line last night. Fourth line.
Yeah.
Boldy, Eriksson, Ek, Kaprizov, 12 minutes and 43 seconds of ice time. That's fine. That's what you have to do for there. 9 minutes and 50 seconds allotted to Duer, Hartman, Duhaime. Duer got the goal. May, you know, they looked fine. It's a physical team in Nashville. I understand you're maybe going to bump that line up a little bit. Lucchini, Goudreau, Lettieri, 9 minutes and 45 seconds. So just 5 seconds off them. We take a gap now. Over a minute to Johansson, Rossi, and Zuccarello, 8 minutes and 27 seconds together on the ice. Yeah. Granted, to your point, the two wingers, terrible. Marcus Johansson, why are you not in the press box? Why are you not eating popcorn? Why are you not getting a nice, you know, a press box dog kicking your feet up like
it's
I did?
Popcorn, man. Guy.
And frankly, hopefully that's the case once Husnadinov gets over to U.S. soil, and who knows kind of what they want to do there.
Visa.
And the visa could take a little bit, it sounds like. But Marco Rossi deserves better. Since day one, I have not given up on him, and he continues, I think, to show a mental fortitude that a seasoned veteran like Matt Zuccarello has now lost. I want to see more. I felt bad for him the other night because that line that he was forced on was atrocious. Like he simply, despite maybe a lack of effort at times, too skilled to be with, who was it, Goudreau and
Lucchini. Was he with Lucchini for that
no,
game?
No, it wasn't with Lucchini. I
or
feel
Lettieri.
Like. I think it was.
I kept the line combination from Tuesday.
Either way. It was a crime against him. But now the next game after, you should look at the lineup card and say, okay, I have Marco Rossi. And Marco Rossi, he's a workhorse. He's going to feed me the puck. I can feed it right back to him if needed. Johansson, I would like to think that in the locker room they recognize, hey, we have to get this guy going. We, you know, he's clearly not applying himself as much as we would like him to be, especially after I'm sure they've decided we are making a push for the playoffs inside of that locker room. You need to show more. So Marco Rossi, I still applaud you because I still saw a, you know, a work ethic last night, which I can't say about the two wingers.
Yeah,
but Marcus Johansson next season, we're gonna see the biggest bounce back I've ever seen in my life. You know why? Because it's a contract year for him, Judd. $2 million for an AAV next year with a no trade. If he could go today, ship him out for anything. Ship him out for anything.
Well, and I just scratch him for Saturday. He ain't playing on Saturday in my world.
It's ridiculous. And he is probably hoping that a guy like Marcus Foligno doesn't return sooner than later, because I think that's one of the only things that's keeping him in the lineup. I'm sick of him getting, and granted, he didn't get the time on ice. But being listed top six is criminal. That's a crime against hockey that he's still there.
Well, and what's going on with these lines then and playing time? And like, why are you screwing around with Rossi? Would be a question to John Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Zuccarello to me looked checked out last night. Like at five on five, he looked checked out last night. And, mm-hmm. and I think it bled into his power play. This is the first time with John Hines, I'm just starting to ask some questions about like, what are you doing? And I feel like he's trying to make what he thinks is a playoff push, but I would even argue it's not a good playoff push. You know, like I know you've got these guys that are playing hard and that's awesome, but Marco Rossi is your future. He needs to be, this is why I'm afraid he's going to scratch Declan Chisholm, who really has had a rough two games because he had the really bad turnover against Carolina on Tuesday. I'm really afraid he's going to scratch him now because he's going to be like, well, he's not playing well enough to play. It's like, no, this is your future. Play these guys. Find out. I don't care. You know, I mean, you lost 6-1, okay? The majority of your team mailed in a game. Your goaltender was terrible. There's no question. I think we'll see Fleury on Saturday, which, to get back to what you keep saying, is love the guy, but this is not what he signed up for.
No.
Which is now save our ass, save our bacon. So I am thoroughly confused. Like, what are you getting out of this other than this hollow attempt to prove that you're fighting for something that, I'm sorry, the Carolina game was a good game, but you got beat in the playoff game there. Like, that was just the superior team. Yep. They beat you. Well, they got some bounces. Yeah, they did. You know what happens in the playoff? Bounces.
Yep.
But also, they just beat you. Second of all, you know, last night to me was a license to scratch guys. Like, if you're this mad at Zuccarello where you're diminishing his playing time, then just scratch him too. Like, what are you doing? What's the goal here? Because my goal is to develop guys, because I think in 2 years you're going to be really good. But you're playing this all wrong, and screwing around with the Rossies of the world is a real mistake.
And
ride him,
yeah,
or you're not my guy.
There's no, given the roster, there's no magical line combinations where if you slot it together and get A with B with C and D with E and F and blah blah blah, that things are just going to click and all of a sudden the heavens open, the seas part, goals are just going to go in left and right. We know what it is. You have one line, and when they get shut down, you essentially have no other offense. The depth there is just not – there is no depth on this team. And I think that's the biggest issue from them to being an actual threat of making one of these final few playoff spots is it's just that one top line. And guess what? The good teams are keying in on that.
Well, okay, write this down for Saturday night in St. Louis, okay? Two things. I think Chisholm gets scratched, which is a mistake.
Yes.
Because he had a bad game. He's had a couple bad games. Okay, who cares? Let him find out if he can play. Like, the one thing I do like is the pressure of this either brings out the best or you can't play. Find out.
You didn't pick second him up one, to not play him.
I think that first line gets broken up because they've been shut down for two games. You know what's going to happen? Zuccarello he's going to go bitch. They're going to put him back with Kaprizov. They're going to take Boldy off that line and put Boldy on the second line. They're going to put, hopefully, Boldy with Rossi. I think X stays at center. But I think Zuccarello is going to be put back with those two because this is what happens, to your point, when there's really no answer. So good teams have said, we're going to stop that first line, which they should say. And that doesn't mean the first line's bad. That doesn't mean that the first line's not trying. They definitely had some chances, okay? But once they get shut down, a coach is going to say, well, they have keyed on us, which is what good teams are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into this. Let's get into the folly of the remaining 22 games, okay?
All right.
Because I keep hearing this too. Well, look at the remaining 22 games. They got it easy, which I would say, okay, if you get in the playoffs on the back of wins against San Jose, Arizona, and the Ducks, it means nothing. Like, it's a net negative.
But, Judd, there's a whole 44 points sitting there for them the rest of the season. What are you talking about?
Okay, so let's talk about this, okay? So I went through the final 22 games.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the final 22 are against playoff teams, which means you have a whole helping of some games where fans are going to be like, oh, easy points. All right, starting tomorrow, though, St. Louis is a non-playoff team. St. Louis is struggling. They're just as good as you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do have San Jose after that, at Arizona, at Colorado.
And that's a back-to-back?
Yep.
So you're going to Denver on a back-to-back. You're going to get your asses kicked.
You should get steamrolled in Colorado. Versus Nashville. Okay. We now know Nashville's better than you.
Yes.
Versus Arizona. Versus Anaheim. Now at St. Louis. And again, at St. Louis is not a sure 2 points. Far from it. At Anaheim, at the Kings, versus St. Louis at home, versus Seattle. Seattle can beat you, right? Versus San Jose, versus Vegas, versus Ottawa, versus Colorado, versus Winnipeg, at Chicago, at Colorado, at Vegas, at San Jose, at the Kings. In other words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of your last 6 games, for all of you, the last 22 are easy. Of your last 6 games, 4 of them are against playoff teams. This is not nearly as easy. Can you get points? Absolutely. Are they going to furiously rally to stay in a race in which they don't belong? Absolutely. It's how the league's structured. But first of all, I don't put it past them to lose a couple of games they shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to be, so let's say they do, let's say they get age those final six games, they're in the race. Four of the last six games are against playoff teams. So this is not nearly as, this is not a stairway to the playoffs as some would like to think. And I can only hope to God that they don't make it.
And the thing is too, leading up to the trade deadline here, let's see, it's tomorrow against St. Louis. That's on the road. And like you mentioned,
yep,
they're not a playoff team, but I don't, that's not guaranteed points
they're
either
as good
way.
As you are.
Yes. It's a one for one at that point.
Yep.
Home against San Jose. And once again, I would like to think that they can do it. They've shown that they can lose a game like that because you're going to go on the road to Arizona. They came to your barn not even a month and a half ago and put up a touchdown on you. And then that is going to be the deciding game for this team. Like, that is a nail in the coffin type game, because the next day you're going to the Bell Center, Pepsi Center. I forget what it's called nowadays to take
Pepsi
on
Center.
The Pepsi Thanks. Center.
Yeah.
It's Ball Arena, isn't it? Is it Ball Arena?
Ball Arena. Yeah, Bell is Montreal.
Yeah. But it's an 8 p.m. start there out in Denver, and that is going to be nightmare fuel. Like that is.
But that's the type of game that they'll win, and then they'll screw up an Arizona game or a San Jose game.
Trade deadline in your face. Hopefully you make a move. You probably sit tight or a little less action than what we expect. And then, yeah, like you said, that's the one that they win because for some reason, Zach Parise tries to take multi-goal game for him.
He'll score a goal. That's a great, write that down.
I'll get that multi-point game for Zach Parise that night. I'll even go that far. Multi-point.
Okay. I can see it.
I know they have a weaker schedule than most when you look at like statistics, but I'm not going to say that they're just going to, stroll through some of these teams that they should. This is a lot of drop points, in my opinion, while other teams, the ones above them, and I understand they might have tough teams too, but they're picking up points. The points that the Wild are going to drop, they're going to make up by going to overtime. They're going to steal one here and there because these other teams, you saw it last night, Nashville, they're going to steal a game because UC Soros is just better than the other team. He's going to go out there and let in one, but then, Philip Forsberg is going to put in two and they're going to win.
Or they'll just get a point.
Exactly.
That's the thing is the Wild can't give up points. So like if you come out and lay an egg against the Ducks, okay?
Yep.
And you win in a shootout. You can't afford that. You can't give up that. You can't have that third point awarded. You can't have, accurately. Okay. Let's say it's Nashville. You can't, let's say that you beat them in a shootout. You can't give up that point. Mm-hmm. That's them gaining ground. So anyway, and it's just that's more accurate to say against these playoff teams that they're going to play that they can't afford to punt points, especially the ones in the race with them. But I saw enough last night. And quite frankly, the Carolina game, while I thoroughly enjoyed it as a fan, I also said, they're just not. They're not in this class. Last thing is this, and this is the Wild's undoing, in my opinion, in the division. I was going through this morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the division, you have now played 15 games. You are 5-10, but let me go through this. Against Dallas, you are 0-3. So just to start off with, 0-3 against the playoff team. Against Colorado, you are 0-1. They're a playoff team. Against Nashville, you are now 1-2. That's a playoff team. And of course, Winnipeg is as well. You are 0-3. So right there, against playoff teams in your division, where it's, points are at a premium, you are 0-3, 0-4, 1-6, you are 1-9. You are 1-9 against teams in the Central. Now, the non-playoff teams, St. Louis, you beat. Chicago, you beat twice. Arizona, you're actually 1-1 against because before they went on this epic, 14-game losing streak now, They beat you, as you said, by a touchdown. So 5-10 overall, but against the teams that matter in your division, you are 1-9.
I don't know how
that
you
have to me tells the story.
There's no easier way to spell it out than that. For people that are still digging their heels in, this is a playoff team. This is a team that just needs to get going, hit their stride. No, because other teams are already in their stride. Other teams are in their stride and well ahead of this team.
Look at Nashville.
Nashville is on a 7-game win streak right now after last night. The LA Kings, I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10, but they seem to only be kind of fine. And they're gonna be missing, I want to say, was it Gabe Vilardi? They're going to be missing Adrian. No. Not Vilardi, but Adrian Kempe.
Kempe,
they're going to be missing him. So that is a blow to them.
And Victor Arvidsson, yep.
But
they're going to get help with the deadline. They're supposedly in talks, or there's been rumblings about them doing a deadline deal with the Devils to get Tyler Toffoli back.
Yep, and so frankly,
they're going to get help.
The weird case that is the Calgary Flames have now won 4 straight, 7-3-0 in their last 10. Despite training multiple pieces, have made a statement that they're keeping Jacob Markstrom.
That's just really interesting.
And now
Saros, who was supposedly on the market before this hot stretch, and Markstrom, if the Flames aren't trying to sort of manipulate the system, because there's always a chance that they're not seeing the return that they want, and so they're trying to drive the price. But if this is true, Saros off the market, Markstrom, which is why if I'm Bill Guerin, I'm calling and saying, our defense was really bad last night. Gus ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Take Gus.
Yeah.
Take Gus and give me a second round, you know. Give me a third round pick. But yeah, some of these now some of the teams that we talked about a couple weeks back as being goaltender desperate might not be. I think Wall is back for Toronto. Mm-hmm. Carolina, we saw great performance. So it might not be, but I mean, my team is still the Devils. The Devils are in this thing in their mind.
Yeah.
And the Devils, you know, need help there. And the last thing too is the Wild has played 60 games age. So the Wild is 8 points behind the Kings and Nashville. Kings have played 59 games, game in hand. Mm-hmm. Nashville's played 61. So that the Wild actually has a game in hand on the Predators. But after that, the points are out of the playoffs right now. So the line ends at Nashville. Out of the playoffs, Calgary, St. Louis, Seattle with 63 points apiece. They are at, respectively, all 59 games played. So everybody basically has a game in hand on you. And you are 1 point behind them. Does that paint a good enough picture that everyone is willing to say, make any trade that you can, the future is bright, but you also have to figure out what happened last night. You weren't on a back-to-back.
Yep.
You went to Nashville. You didn't go to Los Angeles. You didn't travel halfway across the country. You went to Nashville and you got your ass handed to you in a game that everybody knew was important. Your goaltender said, we didn't show up today. That goes to the everyone, including the head coach. What happened there? Because this is not how, if we want to talk about building a culture, and you know, God knows Bill Guerin has, and he's right. You know, he cleaned out guys from that locker room. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, if you have rust on, you know, your car, if you have mold in your freezer, you don't just let it sit there. You clean it out. You remove it.
Yeah, mold.
Like, clean out the bad culture, because that's what I've heard for the, you know, since taking over, that you're building something here.
Yeah, but
you see guys just turning
from?
It off. And that's too. When you're starting goaltender says we didn't show up, and I'm going to call it what it was. That is a must win game.
It was an incredible, yes.
For the narrative that I've heard over the past 24 hours.
If you're a real playoff team, don't give me this. Well, we beat all these crappy teams. Look how close we were. Don't give me that crap. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But I mean, from a culture standpoint, and look, I don't think this team's great by any means, but you got beat 6-1. Your goaltender was terrible. Some very important players who have contract protection were terrible. You know what's happened? Zuccarello was terrible. Johansson's been just completely dogged it. Ryan Hartman. He played last night, right?
Yeah. Lineup sheet says he was. So,
these are questions that, I mean, are you telling me that, like, if Jared Spurgeon was here as the captain, he could have gotten more from these guys, or Marcus Foligno's out? I know that. Yeah, last night was gross. Last night was gross, and I still like where this team is going eventually, but I think there's real questions. And last night was the first time as a whole I was like, have they gone Dean on John Hines? Turn the ears down. Yeah, we don't have to listen to him either anymore. Yeah,
right. Friday, March 8th cannot come soon enough. Because that is my
week from today. Amen, brother.
Week from today. That is when I think you finally are going to solidify whatever the identity that this team wants to be. There no longer has to be any lip service, any mask playing, whatever. You can see what this team finally wants to be. And there's stuff behind the scenes that could be attempted right now that we just don't know about, that maybe just doesn't work out. Sure. So we never know about it.
We'll never know.
But
right.
What gets done is what we are able to go off with. And that's what I'm going to base, Billy Guerin, this team, what they want to do is what happens between now and next Friday.
Final thought. If I'm the Wild, I sit Johansson down today and I say, okay, I know that you've got full protection, but I could tell you right now, you're not playing another game for us this season. Do you want to be traded? And we'll trade you for a bag of pucks.
Why not?
Like, we want you off this team.
Why not?
Go join a 35 and over men's league that's no check and be happy. All right. Well, good discussion. Very depressing discussion because the reality is that last night, well, at least the Carolina game, that was fun to talk about. It did show you that you're not going to, that's a really good team in Carolina, but that was a fun game. I really enjoyed that game last night. Started off okay, but just disintegrated into a royal steaming pile of you-know-what. So that's it for us for today. I'm sure we'll be back soon. More Judd's Hockey Show. As AJ said, trade deadline, I think it's 2 o'clock Central time? 3 o'clock
I
Eastern
think
or 3 o'clock Central?
I think
4
it's
o'clock
3.
Eastern next Friday. So we'll certainly have coverage at that time because hopefully the Wild will be able to make some moves. And I'm sure we'll be back before then. Talk about, well, perhaps on Monday, the Blues game in St. Louis on Saturday. We will talk to you later.